All right, so today we're going deep into AI in healthcare.
Yeah, specifically, we're going to be looking at a panel discussion from Solix Empower 2024 in Hyderabad, India.
That's right. We had some really interesting folks on that panel.
We did. We had Rajesh Sempadil, head of digital transformation at Dr. Reddy's Laboratories,
Okay.
Vaibhav Hatla, NS Sarma, corporate head IT at Vasudha Pharmachem Limited,
All right.
Varmarudraju, CEO of Azen Algo, Ram Mohan Kasi, General Manager of IT and Systems at Apollo Hospitals,
Wow.
and Rushabh Das, Manager of Data Sciences at Providence.
So a real variety of perspectives there.
Absolutely.
And you know, one of the things that really stood out to me at the beginning of the panel discussion was this anecdote about a US insurance company that had a captive in Hyderabad. And they ended up paying a $100 million penalty
Wow.
because their AI system was misclassifying
Yeah, that's
claims.
a huge number.
It's a huge number, right? And it really kind of you know, brings to mind the two sides of this coin. Like on the one hand, you've got the Apple Watch saving lives, and then on the other hand, you've got these massive penalties
Yeah.
because of errors. So it's clearly a really, really high stakes game.
For sure. And I think one of the things that we're trying to do in this deep dive is really extract, like, what are the key takeaways from these experts?
Right.
They're on the ground, they're implementing this stuff. What are the challenges they're facing? What are the opportunities they're seeing? What are they actually doing with AI in healthcare,
Yeah.
specifically in India? And then maybe we can compare and contrast a little bit to what we're seeing here in the US.
So let's start with you know, AI adoption in pharma in India,
Sure.
and Rajesh from Dr. Reddy's talked about how they had actually started investing heavily in their digital infrastructure back in 2010,
That's really early.
which is pretty early. I mean, you know, for a company that was founded in 1984, you know, 2010 was pretty early to making those kind of investments.
Yeah, and I think that foundation was really important for them because Rajesh went on to talk about this program they had called Ops Next, where they actually implemented something like 40 different use cases
Wow.
using digital analytics, RPA, and AR/VR
That's amazing.
to solve business problems. And it was really interesting to see how they took this kind of company-wide approach to solving problems using these technologies. And I think that's one of the reasons why they were recognized by the World Economic Forum as a lighthouse, which is a benchmark for advanced manufacturing.
Yeah, I mean, 40 use cases is that's a
It's
lot.
a lot, yeah.
And you know, he also went into some specifics about how they're using AI and ML, you
Yeah.
know, things like improving yield in manufacturing and getting to the root cause analysis of quality issues. So, you know, very practical, very operational applications.
Absolutely. And then, you know, the conversation turned to budget. And I think it was really interesting how, for a company like Dr. Reddy's, which is very much focused on the generics market, their investments are really in R&D and their product pipeline.
But that makes sense. I mean, you know, they're all about efficiently bringing generic drugs to market.
Right. And then, you know, Varmarudraju, who's the CEO of Azen Algo, had this really interesting perspective on the Indian pharma market as a whole,
Yeah.
which he kind of contrasted with the US market, saying that, you know, India is very much a generics-oriented market.
Right.
Well, the US is more innovation-driven.
And he actually quantified that. Like the cost of bringing an innovative drug to market is in the billions.
Right.
Compared to a couple hundred million for a generic drug.
Yeah. So I think, you know, tying this back to our discussion about AI, this really kind of highlights where AI and ML can probably make the biggest impact in the Indian context.
Right.
So you talked about translational research,
Right.
and market research as being areas where AI could really excel. And I think, you know, especially in the generics market where there's so much pressure on cost, any efficiency gains can have a huge impact.
Yeah. He also had this really interesting point about you know, AI adoption happening in pockets
Yeah.
within, you know, big pharma in India with Dr. Reddy's and his company, iScent being kind of ahead of the curve.
Yeah, it was interesting.
But what was his take on why that broader adoption might be taking more time?
Yeah, so he suggested a couple things. One is that, you know, the gross margins in the pharma industry in India were relatively high,
Yeah.
so there isn't as much maybe urgency to adopt new technologies when things are going well. And then the other thing he pointed out was that a lot of the small to mid-sized companies, they haven't even really adopted like basic digitalization.
Right.
So AI is like a whole other leap for them.
Well, yeah, you've got to kind of crawl before you can walk. You know,
Yeah.
you've got to get the digital infrastructure in place before you can really start layering on the AI. And he did mention that there's a regulatory push you know, from bodies like the US FDA
right.
for more digitalization. So yeah. That's probably playing a role.
I think so. And, you know, the opportunity he highlighted is that the Indian pharma market is huge. Mm-hmm. It's like a $30 billion industry with something like 3,000 companies.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of room for growth.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees this huge opportunity for digitalization and AML, especially in the area of reducing the cost of quality.
So let's shift gears for a minute and talk about cybersecurity,
yeah.
which obviously is, you know, paramount in a highly regulated industry like this.
Mm-hmm.
And Varahala and Asarma made a really interesting point about how risk assessment should be the primary concern before even thinking about budget for cybersecurity.
Yeah, it was interesting how he really focused on the basics.
Yeah.
You know, the need for network segmentation.
Okay.
Least privilege access. Strong firewalls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these might seem basic, but they're absolutely essential.
And it's interesting to think about, you know, the regulatory landscape that he outlined.
Oh, yeah.
He mentioned the U.S. FDA 21 CFR Part 11,
mm-hmm.
the EU GMP, the Brazilian Anvisa.
GAM5, SOX.
Yeah, so, you know, data integrity is clearly a huge concern.
For sure.
And I think he also made an interesting point about how, you know, threat detection is evolving. We're yeah. moving beyond signature-based antiviruses to using machine learning for things like threat hunting and vulnerability assessment and penetration testing.
Yeah, and it's really about being proactive, right?
Yeah.
Anticipating and preventing attacks.
Yeah.
Rather than just reacting to them.
Yeah, and he also touched on this idea of a holistic approach to cybersecurity.
Yeah.
You know, not just preventing attacks, but also having a plan in place for incident response, disaster recovery, business continuity.
So really thinking about the entire life cycle.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah.
So let's shift our focus now to the U.S. healthcare market, specifically on the provider side. And I think, you know, Rishabh Das from Providence gave us some really valuable insights here. He talked about how the increasing Medicare Advantage cohort
yeah.
is really driving investments in value-based care.
Makes sense.
Right.
Right. Because value-based care is all about outcomes.
Yeah.
And AI can definitely play a role in improving outcomes.
And he also talked about how, you know, there are different types of providers in the U.S., academic, community, commercial.
Yeah.
And their focus areas for AI might be different.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, optimizing bed occupancy, understanding consumer behavior, you know, understanding disease patterns. And I think what was really striking to me was how much more digitalization there is in the U.S. provider market, especially when it comes to, you know, clinical support and clinical decision support systems.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he talked about this disruptive potential of generative AI
yeah.
to really help physicians, you know, process all of this information that's out there in the research literature.
Right, because there's so much research coming out all the time.
Right.
Right. And it's impossible to keep up with.
Right. And so to have a tool that can help you sift through that and find the relevant information, I mean, that could be a real game changer.
I think so, too. And, you know, one of the questions that came up was, you know, is the good AI work coming from the U.S. to India?
Right.
Or is India's role primarily in, you know, cloud optimization and IT transformation?
Right.
And Rishabh actually confirmed that a lot of U.S. companies do have large back-end engineering teams in India.
Okay.
Who are working on AI. So it's not just about, you know, the cloud and IT. There's actual AI development happening in India as well.
So, which kind of brings up the question, is AI in healthcare more of like an AI icing on existing digital projects?
Yeah.
Or are we seeing like truly new AI first initiatives?
It's a good question. And I think right now it's probably a bit of both, mm-hmm. right? Like AI can definitely enhance and optimize existing digital infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're also starting to see some really new and innovative AI-first projects.
Mm-hmm.
And Rishabh highlighted, you know, the huge growth potential
yeah.
of this market. I mean, yeah. he said it's trillions globally
yeah.
and billions specifically for the pharma and healthcare industries.
So it's clearly an area that's ripe for investment
mm.
and innovation. And he also made this really interesting comparison about, you know, cardiac risk prediction models.
Yes.
In the U.S. and India. And he was saying that, you know, in the U.S., obviously, they have a lot more EMR data.
Right.
Electronic medical records data.
Right.
But he said, you know, India's catching up in terms of digital adoption.
Yeah.
And he thinks that with enough data, you know, maybe 3 years worth of data, you could potentially have these cardiac risk prediction models that are 80% accurate or even higher in India.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, so let's talk about budgeting for AI.
Sure.
Because that's obviously a huge consideration for any company.
Yeah, Rajesh from Dr. Reddy's gave a really interesting perspective on this. You know, they basically focus on identifying very specific business problems where the existing market solutions aren't adequate, and then they'll look to partner with other companies or they'll leverage their in-house data science teams.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about democratizing data science activities. So giving more people across the organization the ability to identify opportunities for AI.
Yeah, and he actually put a number on it. He said that about 25% of their IT budget is dedicated to transformation.
Okay.
Which includes AI.
That's pretty significant.
It is. It is. Yeah. And then, you know, Varma had this kind of CEO perspective, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, what was that?
He said, you know, if you want to get a project approved, you need to focus on the use cases that are going to increase the bottom line, increase employee productivity, and reduce operational headaches.
It's music to a CEO's ears.
Right.
Right.
And he gave a couple of good examples. He talked about using AI in learning management systems to highlight the consequences of not following training.
Yeah.
And then also using AI to reduce the cost of quality.
Yeah, makes sense.
In manufacturing.
For sure.
So let's go back to cardiac risk prediction for a minute. Because Rishav had some really interesting things to say about that. He was talking about how AI can be used to not only predict risk for, like, you know, defined populations, but also to identify shifts in risk level.
Yeah, for individuals.
Yeah, for individuals over time.
Yeah.
And he talked about achieving high accuracy rates even in unsupervised learning, where you're not really, you know, giving the AI a lot of guidance. So pretty impressive stuff.
Absolutely. And then the conversation kind of turned to wearables.
Yeah.
Like the Apple Watch.
And voice assistants like Alexa and Google.
Right.
And the potential for those to help with early detection.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really exciting area. But I think the challenge there is really integrating that real-time data.
Yeah.
With the clinical data that's already being captured.
Right. Because you need that kind of holistic view.
Absolutely.
To really make accurate assessments. But the bigger picture here, I think the thing that really struck me was that, you know, it's all about moving towards proactive and preventive care rather than just reacting to illnesses.
Yeah. And I think AI is a huge role to play in that shift.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about generative AI for a minute.
Right.
You know, GPT and all of that. And you know, there was an interesting discussion among the panelists about whether you can really trust these generalized GPT models for diagnosis.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are definitely some concerns there.
Right.
About the accuracy and the reliability, and also about how you prompt them.
Yeah.
You know, the quality of the output really depends on the quality of the input.
Right. And Rishav made an interesting point about how he thinks these models are going to evolve towards more specialized applications.
Right. So rather than being general purpose, they'll be very specific.
Yeah. Like for drug discovery.
Yeah.
Or for helping physicians with treatment plans.
Yeah. And he actually gave an example of how they're using generative AI at Dr. Reddy's.
Okay.
To create unbiased survey questions.
Oh, wow.
For their employees.
Okay.
So it's not just patient facing.
Right.
There are other applications as well.
Right. So it's really kind of permeating all aspects of the business.
Absolutely.
And there was a brief discussion about, you know, the adoption of generative AI in India compared to the US and China.
Yeah.
And I think the consensus was that India is still kind of in the early stages.
Yeah, I think that's right.
But they're catching up.
Yeah.
And one of the interesting points that came up was the challenge of language.
Right.
Because the primary language in India is not English.
Right.
So how do you use tools like ChatGPT?
Right.
Effectively.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really important consideration, especially as we think about, you know, the global adoption of these tools.
Right. And then finally, you know, the panel talking about the readiness of doctors to adopt these AI tools.
Yeah. I think Varma made a good point.
Yeah.
Which is that, you know, adoption is going to depend on the value proposition.
Right.
Like what's in it for the doctors.
Right.
Right. Like if it can save them time, if it can help them make better decisions, then they're more likely to adopt it.
And he gave the example of drug interaction alerts.
Right. Because that's a very clear benefit.
Right.
Right. It helps them avoid mistakes.
And then Rishav kind of reinforced that point, saying that, you know, AI should really be seen as an assistive tool, particularly in areas like post-acute and palliative care. And that it's really about clinical decision support, not about replacing the doctor.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really important message.
Yeah, for sure.
Because there's a lot of fear out there.
Right.
About AI replacing doctors. And that's not what we're talking about.
So to bring it all together, let's talk about data infrastructure.
Okay.
Because that's really the foundation for all of this.
It is, yeah.
And the panelists really emphasized the need for clean, integrated, high-quality data.
Especially in the Indian pharma market.
Yeah. Rajesh from Dr. Reddy has talked about how they've been building these data lakes, you know, initially on-prem. Mm. And then in 2022, they moved to the cloud.
Okay.
And he talked about how important it is to monitor data quality to make sure that the data is actually useful for running analytics.
Makes sense.
And AML use cases. And he also highlighted the huge amount of unstructured data that exists in pharma.
Hmm.
Like documents and reports and all of that.
Oh,
and the potential for generative AI and other techniques to really, you know, unlock that data.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the big areas where we're going to see a lot of progress.
Yeah.
In the coming years.
So to kind of sum up our deep dive into this Solix Empower panel, it seems like AI in healthcare in India is definitely making progress,
mm-hmm.
particularly in pharma, you know, for things like operational efficiency and R&D.
Yeah.
But there are still challenges, data quality being one of them, and maybe some resistance to change.
Yeah.
But the U.S. market seems to be more mature.
It does. Yeah.
In terms of adoption, especially in the provider setting, driven by things like value-based care and a clinical decision support systems.
Right.
Generative AI holds a lot of promise.
Yeah.
But we need to think carefully about things like data security and language barriers.
Absolutely.
And ultimately, you know, high quality, well integrated data is really the key to all of this.
It is, yeah.
So it really kind of takes us back to that opening anecdote about
right.
the $100 million penalty and the potential for AI to save lives. You know, it's clearly a very high stakes game.
For sure.
And the impact is going to be huge. So I guess the final thought for our listeners is, you know, given all of this unstructured data that's out there in the healthcare ecosystem, what kind of amazing AI applications might we see in the next few years?
That's a great question.
And how do we make sure that we're developing and implementing these technologies responsibly?
Yeah, that's the key.
And ethically.
For sure.
So that we can maximize the benefits and minimize the risks.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's our deep dive for today. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for having me.